Very, very cool. Greetings. Good morning, church. On behalf of Mount Helena Community Church, I want to welcome you. And if you don't know me, he just told you, I'm Bob Wamsley, director of the men's ministry at Mount Helena. I have been, my wife and I, attending here. And the reason I say this, because I was just thinking of it the other day, but we've been coming here for 5 years and 8 months, almost 6 years this January. And seems like we just started coming here. And time flies when you enjoy serving and the people that you serve with, right? So I was going to plug the NFL kickoff, but I think Jason did a good job of that, so I'm just going to leave it at that. I will tell the guys, we always do have a, not a keynote speaker, but I've asked Scott Falkowski to do our opening remarks. Where are you at, Scott? Are you in here? There he is. There he is. Raise your hand, Scott. There he is. Scott will be our keynote speaker. So when I was first asked if I was available on the first, I naturally went for my phone. And I was like, going to look at my calendar. I went, I know I'm available because it's my birthday. And I would know if I had plans. And so I was, as I'm looking at my calendar, JR says, oh, I can't ask you to do this on your birthday. And I go, why not, JR? If you need me to sweep a floor, I'll sweep, I'll serve. Just because it's my birthday doesn't mean I can't serve, right? And I said, besides, what better way to spend your birthday than with family and friends, serving God and sharing the word, am I right? So that was perfect. And, you know, you all get to spend my 36th birthday with me today. I think I switched them numbers, didn't I? I switched those numbers, but it's just a number, right? My wife will tell you that my family has good genes and that I don't look my age. She'll tell you I look 55. Thank you, honey. She'll tell you that I still haven't grown much because everything that I lift and try to do myself and climb and hike, I think I'm 25. And finally, she'll tell you most of the time I act 5. But that works out great because I have a 5-year-old grandson and we communicate really well. So enough about my birthday. I am blessed and honored to share with you guys, though, on my birthday. And so with that, let's pray, would you? Almighty God, praise and glory to you, Lord. Thank you for this day. Thank you so much, Lord. We love you. I thank you for all that are here and all that are watching. And Lord, open our hearts and minister to us. Holy Spirit, come and minister those sweet words to us. And for those who can't make it, Lord, we just pray that somewhere today they find fellowship, they find time in your word. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So I know Tyler did this in recap last week, but there's something I want to touch on in Ephesians. And so for the last 13, 14 weeks, we were doing the Bible study in Ephesians, other than the wonderful day at the lake where we had the great fellowship and we got to watch so many people publicly dedicate their life to Jesus Christ. And then we had Mark Spencer. Who loves Mark Spencer? Yes. Mark walks in the door and you just see like the Holy Spirit walking in with him. You know, they're walking in and they're just always excited. And he brings such an amazing message. And then Tyler. Tyler closed out Ephesians. He's here somewhere. Tyler closed out Ephesians with an amazing job on the armor of God. And so it was great. But I just wanted to say there's some highlights in Ephesians. You know, we were chosen before God created the world, and we're saved by grace, not works. I always refer to that to Grace 101. I'll get to Grace 201 later. To be imitators of God. The big point, though, and I was fortunate enough to speak on that, was God's love. Right in the very smack middle of Ephesians, Paul talks about God's love. Remember how long and high and wide and deep it is? And in 1 John 4:12, it says, no one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us and his love is made complete. Remember we covered that his love is complete in us. He's trusting us with his love. He's giving it to us and he's asking it to share. It's special, it's precious. It's like he has a cup of it and he's like, Anita, this is a cup of my love, and it's never ending, and it's special, and it'll never run out. I want you to share it, and I know that you share it. And Jason, Jason disappeared on me. Jeff, here's another cup of that love. It's special. It's never ending, so don't worry about sharing it. I trust you with it. I want you to take that, and I want you to share it. As we look beyond Paul and his writings, we encounter James, Peter, and John, right? But we hear the same message. Different apostle, different author, but the same message that we have to love one another. And if you show me any book in the Bible, I'll show you an example of love. I'll show you an example of serving. So how do we as men and women of God, how do we fulfill that message of love? Is it merely by saying, I love you? I know if I looked at Jay Shirley right now and I said, hey, buddy, I love you, man. I love you. I know he believes me. Brandon, I know if I tell Brandon, I love you, bro. Where's my boy Hans? Ah, mad love, buddy. He knows I mean it. He knows when I say it, I mean it because they know me. But that doesn't always work. It doesn't always work that we say it. 1 John 3:18 tells us, dear children, let us not love with word or tongue, but with action and in truth. So saying it's not enough. So how? How do we, what is love? How do we as men and women of God fulfill that? Like so many other words in the Word of God, we forget that they're action words, they're verbs. Like salvation. Salvation isn't an event that happened in your life. We spoke about this the other day. It isn't an event that happened in your life 20 years ago, 15 years ago, 6 months ago. Salvation is your life. It's going on every day in your life. Belief and faith aren't nouns describing a time or event in your life. They're a part of every step you take, right? You're walking in faith. Every step you take, it's a part of you. And love, the big one. Love is only a noun when you see it on a poster. It's only a noun when you say, I had love, I'm looking for love. In all the wrong places, I shouldn't have said that. You knew it was coming, right? But love is an action word. The love that God extends to us through the Holy Spirit to share is as much a part of us as every breath that we take. Every single breath. We live and breathe God's love. It's not fulfilled through word or tongue, but through action and in truth, through serving and commitment. At some time in your daily reading, I know you came across Matthew 20:28. It's the greatest example of serving that there is. And I quote Jesus saying, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. I want you to think about that for a second. From healing to feeding to washing feet, to dying on the cross for our salvation. I'm sorry, I'm still thinking about that song, I Speak Jesus. Did you guys know we're all bilingual? Man, we all speak Jesus. And I think about salvation and now I'm tearing up a little. I was just teasing BG yesterday at a wedding that he was a crybaby as he was doing the wedding, you know, and he was crying. I was like, BG. See, God has a funny way of getting even with us, doesn't he? He's like, you laughed at BG, everybody's gonna laugh at you. Watch this. But anyways, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, walked this world and through, though deserving of our unyielding service, to bow to him, to serve him diligently, constantly, he chose to humble himself and to serve us. To put it in perspective, our creator and provider of salvation, he served us. He loved and ministered us, not through word or tongue, but with action and in truth. Amen. As I was speaking with my wife the other day, and I'll try to shorten this little section of it, but we sat down in the morning and we have our coffee and we read the word, and we're also reading this book, the Book of Mysteries, together. So she reads a page and I read a page, and we often share stuff that's in there, stuff that we read in the scriptures. And I was going through the word working on this message, and I was trying to find examples of serving and stuff. And there's so many of them in the Bible, right? Because God made those examples. And she starts talking to me, and she reminds me of Hadassah in the Old Testament, the book of Esther, also known as Esther. And see, and Esther was a young Hebrew woman, and she lost her family, and her older cousin Mordecai took her in as his own, and he began to raise her. And during that time, Xerxes was the king. He was the ruler there at that time of Persia, and His queen had humiliated him publicly, and he took away her queenship. He pulled it from her. He pulled it from her, and he embarked on this mission to find the perfect queen, right? And the Bible says that Esther was lovely in form and feature, and you know, Esther was a nice looking. Esther was well carried herself and lovely in form and feature. And these women that wanted to try for the queenship had to go through 12 months of how to dress and how to walk and how to smell pretty and how to do all this stuff. But Esther ultimately wins the favor of Xerxes. And he's smitten with her. You can have everything you want up to half of my kingdom. Well, he also had this chief nobleman, Haman. And Haman was jealous of Mordecai because Mordecai had actually saved Xerxes' life and found favor. So Mordecai lies and he comes up with a story about this rogue tribe and rogue leader. Should I kill him? And he gets the stamp of approval to kill him. But that gets back to Mordecai and then to Esther. And what does Esther do? Esther goes and says, it's illegal for me to get involved. She's the queen. It's illegal for me to get involved and say anything, but I've got to do something. I've got to save the Hebrew people. And her words are, if I perish, I perish. And we know that in the book of John, I think it's 15:13, don't quote me on that, but it says that greater love has no man than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. She was willing to lay down. She was willing to give up queenship, half of everything, to serve the Hebrew nation, to save her fellow man and woman, to serve them. If I perish, I perish. And the reason I shared that one story is I'm telling you guys, God showed me this. And this might not be as incredible to you as it was to me, but I'm gonna share it anyways. But you remember in Genesis chapter 15, when outside the tent, God says to Abram, look at the stars, and as many as you see, thus will be your children. So the children of Abraham are stars. And what do stars do? Stars serve us while they're alive. They provide us light to see. They provide ships direction. They provide splendor and glory. They provide lights of heaven as we look up. And Esther's name translates to star. And as God showed me that, I was fascinated. Esther was one of Abraham's stars, a star that serves God. We're Abraham's stars. We serve. We serve God. In Romans 12, 16 through 18, we see a great description of love in action. I'll try to go through this quick and paraphrase some of it, but it says we have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If your gift is prophesying, and because it's so long, we didn't put it up here, but if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's leading, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. And then it goes on to describe that love in action. It's sincere. It hates evil. It clings to what is good. It tells us to be devoted to one another. Keep your spiritual fervor with the Lord. Honor one another. Be joyful in hope. And it goes on and it goes on. Live in harmony. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. That's huge. See, I gave you an example of the greatest server of all times that we should be like. The most conceited being of all times is your enemy, Satan. See, because when he only thinks about himself, and he wants to tell you to think about yourself. But when we're conceited, we don't have time to serve others. We don't have time to look for needs. We don't have time to think about we should be generous. We should sweep that floor. We should help out. We think only of ourselves. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. We all have gifts. Each one should use whatever gift he has received. It's not enough that we attend church on Sundays. We are called. We're all called. JR and Jason aren't the only ones, and Jeff and Corey, the only ones, and Tyler called to serve here at the church, to speak to you guys, or to run a group, a small group, or to teach a class, or to work in the nursery. We're all called. Somewhere we're called. Truly being born of God requires commitment, and it should continue throughout your week. You've all heard the story of the date, your date of birth and your date of death and the dash. And if you haven't heard, I'm going to explain it to you, but your date of birth was really important to your family, to your parents. And your day of death will be remembered too, because it breaks hearts. Even as Christian people, we're sad to see others go, although we should rejoice for them. But those aren't the important parts of your life. It's the dash. That dash in between those dates, that legacy. What is your legacy in Jesus Christ during that dash? How did you serve your Lord? How did you teach your children to serve? How did you encourage your spouse to serve? When did you share the gospel? But I encourage you, that dash is important. Take it a step further to zoom in. We come on Sunday and we fellowship and it's beautiful, and then we leave and we return on another Sunday, Sunday to Sunday, but there's a dash in the middle of the week. How are we spending our dash? Are we serving? Are we loving? Are we building? Are we planting seeds? Just as Jesus set the example to serve, we must also serve. I told you I would get to Faith 202. Now, that's not a real thing. I made that up. But Faith 201 is we're saved by grace, right? Because of our faith, not by our works. But it doesn't stop there. See, because James 2:26 says that as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. See, as we love God, as we transform our life, as we begin to serve him, our faith causes us to love that. Our faith causes us to love God, to love one another, to share with one another, to be generous, to help people, to serve. Faith in God is drenched in giving and serving. It's drenched in it. It's soaked in it. In the coming weeks, many of our small groups are going to be using the Seeds book. Tomorrow starts today. Seeds Tomorrow Starts Today book. The metaphor of planting seeds is huge to God. We all know that. Seeds is a big story in the Bible. Planting seeds, sowing seeds, reaping harvests. What we plant today determines our tomorrow. Our relationships depend on the seeds we plant, right? When you're looking for a wife or you first meet your wife, the seeds you plant are so important. And when you've been married for 40 years, are those seeds still not important that you plant every day? 15 years with your children. How important are seeds that you plant with your children? Your tomorrow depends on it. In your relationships, in our church, the seeds we plant in our church, from when people first walk through that front door till they share worship with us, till they spend time in the Word with us, till they walk out, the seeds we plant are the future of our church and our communities. Our communities depend wholly, our missions depend on the seeds that we plant. But seeds aren't always thrown out there and just like, here's some seeds. I know some of you have gardens here, and I know you pray for them. You pray over your gardens, right? Yeah, you pray over them. Man, I want zucchinis this big, and tomatoes like that, and lots of tomatoes because I want to make marinara, right? But you nurture them, and you love them, and you're tender with them when you plant those seeds because you want to reap a harvest. And so we should be that way as we reap a harvest in our church. And as we serve one another, we serve our family, we serve our community in God's love, we're planting seeds in that good soil spoken about in Matthew 13:8. We're going to nurture that. We're going to serve God with that. I spoke today about my lovely bride, and now I'm going to speak about my lovely daughter for a minute. They both had a little bit to say in this sermon. So if it's bad, blame it on them, okay, on this message. But my daughter called me one morning, and she goes, "What are you doing, Pop?" And I said, "Well, I'm working on this message, and this is what it's about." And I shared with her, I wish I was given it sooner, before we did the sign up for to lead and host a Seeds group. And I apologize for that. I wasn't being arrogant. I just wanted to give it sooner to encourage people to serve. And she so wisely looks at me, or didn't look at me, we're on the phone, and she says, "People don't have to be a host or a leader of a small group to share their gifts." And she said, "You know, when the apostles were chosen, they didn't have gifts, not like this." And she says, "There had to be some apprehension and some anxiety to go with this Messiah." But he was saying Jesus was the Messiah. And she used Peter as a reference. He had a business, he had a wife, he had a potential family, but he put it all aside to go serve God, to follow him. They all did. And Jesus slowly built them and prepared them and exposed their gifts and sent them out. Her comments reminded me about the stars that I had, Abraham's stars, providing light. That's what we do. We provide light and we provide direction. Whether you're the host or a leader or a small group member, we all have a gift to share, right? We all have something to share. Testimony. Your testimony is important to somebody in this room. The stories that we tell, that we hear, the stories of the Bible, the stories of things that happen to us, they're important. Somebody needs to hear that. And that's what you hear in small groups, is testimonies and stories. Encouragement. Encouragement is huge. We can encourage each other when we're in small groups, whether in Seeds or you're in Monday Night Football or you're in 301, Brandon's 301 class. We can encourage one another. It reminds me of, trust me, I tell you this story because this was holy God. But I was at a point in my life where I was like, "God, I want to be used more. I've known you all my life. I want to be used more. I want to be bold. I want to be bold, and I want to share more, and not just with brothers and sisters, but with just people I don't know." And you know what God told me? "Okay, do it. Just do it. You know the gospel, just share it." And sometimes encouragement, I walked into Lowe's one day, and this isn't a pat on my back, as I said, the Holy Spirit did this to me, and I was walking in, it was shortly after this conversation with God, and I walked up, and there was this senior, I shouldn't say senior citizen, I keep reminding myself I'm a senior citizen now, right? But she was checking me out, and she was like, "Did you find everything you needed?" And I said, "I did, thank you." Almost like she had to say, "How's your day?" And I said, "Well, you know what? I serve a mighty God, and he has so abundantly blessed my morning. I can't wait to see what he does to my afternoon." And she stopped everything she was doing, and she stared at the register like this for a minute. Her chin dropped. Her mouth was wide open. She turned her head, and she looked at me. And it was a moment in time that froze with her mouth. I thought she was going to eat me for a second because she never closed her mouth. It seemed like for an eternity. And then her mouth closed and she smiled from ear to ear. And she said, "I so needed to hear that. I needed to hear that because no one in my shift wants to talk about God. And I want to share the love of Jesus, but I just feel stifled." And I looked at her and I said, "Ma'am, you don't have to do a Bible study here if they won't let you. But if you want to talk about Jesus, talk about Jesus. Tell people how he has blessed you. Tell people what he has done for you. But talk about Jesus." And that encouragement, I could see just the weight of the evil world come off her shoulders. And it was such a blessing to me that God would use me like that because I asked. Prayer. Small groups, some of you really have that gift of prayer. We have groups of people that pray for you here, and you find those people in our small groups that are willing to wait after with you and lay hands on you and to pray for you and to serve God. We all have a gift. What's your gift? As we go into this small group session, ask God, God, what is my gift? What are my gifts? What would you have me share? Present that to God. And if you don't know what it is, you feel like you don't know what it is, you know, it's like that. I talked once about that alcoholic that just, he never stops drinking because he never poured everything out. You got to take that step towards God and he begins to heal you. Step out there and sweep a floor. Stop and help. I love doing this. I love stopping and helping older ladies or men load their groceries at Costco. They come out with them big bundles of water and all that stuff, and I watch them struggle. Again, not a pat on the back. I love doing that. But it's when you begin to just serve in them little things. God looks at you and he sees that you're so worthy in the little things. I'm going to give you more. And you start to hear, what are my gifts, God? And he begins to share them with you. And you begin to share them with others. But I will tell you this, if you listen to anything I said today, I want you to hear this. We, I include myself, we, Mount Helena Community Church, the city of Helena, your families, we need your participation. That's not something the church told me to say, friends. We need your participation. Somebody out there needs your testimony. I've got friends in here that got amazing testimonies. I had one shared with me today. RJ shared a, you know, how he ended up here. And those are powerful stories. We need your participation. But I want you to remember this. You need your participation. You know that? You need your participation. Let me tell you why. What happens when we serve? People inherently feel joy when they've helped someone else. I know that's hard to believe. As a big city cop, I dealt with a lot of people, robbers and murderers and wife beaters and drug dealers, but I can tell you of times where they were able to give or to help, there was a different happiness with them. I remember a story of one of the guys that I was dealing with. I arrested him many times, and there he is pushing a car out of an intersection. And I jumped out, and I'm in my uniform, and I ran over there, and we pushed the car out of the way and stuff. And the joy on his face because he helped this lady get her car out of the intersection. And he had to tell me that. He had to just, he wasn't throwing it in my face. He was like full of joy that, oh, I'm so glad, officer, I got to help, you know. And for a moment, we were on the same team. But he was filled with joy. Serving reflects God. That's why we serve. It reflects God. When we serve, people see Jesus. Around your children, you're the only Jesus they ever see. Man, my phone's ringing like crazy. I bet it's birthday salutations. But when we serve, it reflects God. Serving is worship. Did you know that? See, I always thought worship was just singing. When we sing, we're worshiping God. When I'm walking around the mountains with my bow, scaring elk and antelope, that seems to all I do. People go, you're a bow hunter? I go, no, I'm a hiker. But I was the greatest hunter you ever knew in Nevada. And I come to Montana, and I tell you, it's like my shoes are untied all the time. I trip over all the time. I work hard to go out there and be all camoed up. And then my buddy Jay will send me a picture of his antelope, and he's in a white cowboy hat this big and a purple Carroll College Big Sky Broker shirt and blue jeans, and he's just sticking out like a sore thumb. Probably smells like a goat, but here's the goat he shot with his bow. But hey. When I'm walking around out there, man, I talk to God. I sit down in the morning, I'm like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, that I'm still out here. That's worship. When you give generously, that's worship. When you share with somebody, when you serve somebody, you are worshiping God. To have a servant's heart is to be like Jesus. Serving unites us. Have you ever noticed when someone starts moving chairs, when we've got something to do here, the numbers just grow. And we clear this area in 5 minutes. And when we got to set it back up, we do the same. It unites us and it's contagious, right? When you see someone serving, you want to serve. It's contagious. When you see Jesus serving, you want to serve. When you see men and women of God serving, it touches your heart. You want to serve. Serving brings purpose to your life. We were created for this. We're God's workmanship, right? We're created to serve. If you don't know that purpose in your life or what that purpose is and you're always asking God, shh, he answered that for me. I'm here to tell you. Love and serve. That's it. It's simple. Serving is grow. We grow when we serve. When you serve, have you ever noticed when you serve a lot that you grow a lot? You know, when you prepare a message to share, you learn more than you ever learned before. You grow when you serve. When you serve in the nursery, you grow. When you serve greeting people, you grow because you learn better things to say. You meet people. You learn who they are. The Spirit begins to speak through you. But serving causes growth in our life. And it causes love. See that bowl of fruit that you have with all the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. I know we hoard that sometimes. This is my fruit. But I'm going to tell you, if you share that fruit, that bowl never empties. I just told you about the cups of love. And God just regards that as precious. And he gives us those cups. And he tells you, I want you to go share it, because when you come back, I'm going to fill it again. And oh, by the way, there's a bunch here for you too. That fruit basket is never empty. And lastly, we earn God's favor. Now, we don't serve because I'm going to go do something. I got to go do something. I'm going to go sweep the floor so I can finally have some of God's favor. No, it's in your heart. But isn't it nice to know that one day as we serve and we love, he's going to say, welcome, my good and faithful servant. It brings God's favor. And I have learned through experience that the more I give and the more I serve, I'm in awe what God does to me, what God does for us. I'm in awe of how you come home and you go, oh, wow, basket's full again. And you just get to go out and share it. Matthew 25, 35 through 40. I'll paraphrase it in the interest of time. It's when Jesus was talking about when the Son of Man comes, he'll put the goats on his left and he'll put the sheep on his right, right? And then he goes on to say that the king will say to those on his right, he'll say, come and receive your inheritance that the kingdom has prepared for you. For when I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I needed clothes, you clothed me. When I was a stranger, you brought me in your home. When I was a prisoner, you visited me. When I was sick, you took care of me. And the righteous will look at him and they'll say, Lord, when were you hungry and we fed you? When were you thirsty and we gave you drink? When did we come and see you in prison? You were never a stranger. When were you a stranger and we took you in? And the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Does that send us out to serve? Does that mean God wants us to serve? As we close, in Galatians 6:10, it says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. Capital A, capital L, capital L, all people. Especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Sometimes it's through our service, through a helping hand, that people see Christ, that a seed is planted. Our greatest ministry is in our actions. It's never in our words. You can pound somebody full of Scripture, and that's good. It's good you know Scripture. And you can tell people all the Scripture in the world. But it's our actions. It's our love. It's our service. It's our embracing that carries that message. I'm going to have Jason come up and close us in prayer, but I would like to say, I want to encourage you, as God has graced you, you should also faithfully administer that grace. And as God has loved you, you should faithfully administer that love. Administer it to others in action and in truth. Have an amazing week. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.